What's going on, my psychic friends, hotline hotties? On this episode, I interview the amazing psychic housewife of New Jersey, CEO of Ghostly Magazine, paranormal investigator, and proud to call her a new friend, Miss April Bazette. So let's get this party started.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Ghost Joe here. Thanks for joining me. I have such an awesome show for you guys this week. First, we are going to go over a little history about psychic mediums. Then we're going to interview psychic housewife of New Jersey, April Bazette. So this episode is part one of the interview because we had some technical difficulties and had to finish it up on another day, but it worked out because I got another 45-minute interview out of it. Ha! It's all part of my master plan. Not really, but both parts are great, with the episode having an EVP right in the beginning of it. I played it on my previous show, so please go back and check that out. Also, someone very close to me actually made a surprise appearance during the interview. So let's get going and talk about the history of psychic mediums. By the way, if you want to skip this section and go straight to the interview, there are chapter markers and stuff, so you could definitely do that if you'd like. But I encourage you to please listen because it's good information, you know? And so we learn here. We learn here on the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. All right, so let's go over some definitions for clarity, okay? So a psychic is defined as someone who claims to access information beyond the normal senses, including future events, thoughts of others, or energies surrounding a person or place through extrasensory perception, ESP. A medium is a person who believes they can communicate with spirits of the deceased, often acting as a channel to relay messages from the spirit world to the living. A psychic medium is a person who claims to be able to communicate with spirits or the deceased, right? They are said to be intuitive and sensitive enough to see, hear, and feel information from the spirit world. How psychic mediums communicate. So there's mental mediumship. A medium uses their intuitive mind to receive messages from spirits through telepathy. There's trance mediumship, where a spirit takes control of the medium's body, mind, and energy to communicate. There is direct voice, where a medium facilitates a connection between the physical and spirit worlds, allowing spirits to speak independently. The history of psychic mediums dates back to ancient civilizations, where spiritual practices and communication with the dead were integral to various cultures. In ancient Greece and Rome, oracles and seers were consulted for their guidance. The practice evolved through the Middle Ages with heightened interest in mysticism and the supernatural, often facing persecution during the witch hunts. The 19th century marked a significant turning point with the rise of spiritualism, a movement that emerged in the United States in the 1840s. It emphasized the belief that the dead could communicate with the living through mediums. Prominent figures such as the Fox sisters popularized mediumship, leading to the establishment of various spiritualistic churches and organizations. Throughout the 20th century, psychic mediums gained prominence in popular culture, with notable figures such as Edgar Cayce and Doris Stokes. In recent years, the practice has continued to thrive, often intersecting with the New Age beliefs and practices, while also facing skepticism and scientific scrutiny. Today, psychic mediums are part of a broader interest in spirituality and alternative healing. Psychic mediums can be characterized, as we had said before, but with various based on their abilities, methods of communications, and the specific practices that they employ. So there's clairvoyance. These mediums claim to have the ability to see visions or images from the past, present, or future. They often receive information through visual imagery. Clairaudience. These individuals can hear messages from spirits or other entities. They often describe hearing voices or sounds that provide guidance or information. There's clairsentience. Clairsentience possesses the ability to feel or sense the emotions and energies of spirits or other people. They may experience physical sensations in their own bodies that correlate with the messages they receive. And then there is tarot readers. While not always classified strictly as mediums, many tarot readers use cards to tap into spiritual insights and connect with higher guidance or energies. There's channelers. Channelers communicate messages from spiritual beings such as angels or guides, often during a trance state, conveying wisdom or guidance. There's animal communicators. These mediums specialize in connecting with animals, both living and deceased, and can interpret their thoughts, feelings, and messages. There's astrologers, where although primarily focused on the positions of the celestial bodies, some astrologers also consider themselves mediums, interpreting astrological charts to gain insights into spiritual matters. There's dream interpreters. Some mediums specialize in interpreting dreams, believing that dreams can provide messages from the spirit world or insights into an individual's life and past. Each type of psychic medium employs unique methods and approaches, but all share the common goal of facilitating communication between the spiritual and physical realms. Throughout history, numerous psychic mediums have gained notoriety for their abilities to communicate with the spirits or provide insights into the future. Here are some notable psychic mediums. You have Evangeline Adams from 1865 to 1932. She was an American astrologer and psychic. Adams gained fame in the early 20th century for her accurate predictions, including insights into the stock market. She was known for her work in astrology and often credited with popularizing astrological readings in the U.S. You have my man Edgar Cayce, 1877 and 1945. I had mentioned him before, and actually John Wright had did a whole segment on him, so please go back and check that out. He's a very interesting guy. He's often referred to as the sleeping prophet. Cayce was an American psychic who provided thousands of readings while in a trance state. His readings covered a wide range of topics, including health, spirituality, and even Atlantis. You have Alan Kardec from 1804 to 1869. He was a French educator and the founder of spiritualism. Kardec studied mediumship and wrote several books on the subject, including the Spirits Book. His work laid the foundation for many spiritualist practices. Then you have the Fox sisters, as we mentioned before, Leah, Margaret, and Kate. These sisters were pivotal in the development of the spiritual movement in the mid-19th century. They claimed to communicate with the spirits through rapping sounds, which attracted widespread attention and led to the establishment of numerous spiritualist churches. More about them in a moment, actually. Then you have more recent people like the Long Island medium, Teresa Caputo. She is a contemporary American medium known for her television show, The Long Island Medium. Caputo claims to communicate with the deceased and deliver messages to their loved ones. Her show has brought mediumship into the mainstream. You have John Edward, who is an American psychic medium. Edward gained fame from his television shows Crossing Over with John Edward and John Edward Cross Country. He is known for his ability to connect with people with their deceased loved ones. You have Sylvia Brown from 1936 to 2013. I never liked that lady. She always had kind of a nasty attitude. She was an author and psychic medium. Brown was known for her appearances on television, including the Montel Williams Show. She wrote numerous books on spirituality and psychic phenomena. You have Lisa Williams. She's a British psychic medium and author. Williams gained recognition through her television shows, including Lisa Williams, Life Among the Dead. She is known for her ability to communicate with spirits and provide readings. You have James Van Prague. He's an American author and medium. Van Prague is known for his television appearances and books, including Talking to Heaven. He has been influential in popularizing mediumship in the media. And then you have our guest today, Miss April Bizet. She, as she'll tell you, she encompasses a few different psychic medium abilities. And I'll let her explain all that to you because it's very interesting. And she's excellent. I can't wait for you guys to hear that interview. So there actually has been someone that used to go around debunking a lot of fraudulent psychics and mediums. And that man was Harry Houdini. Yep, you heard me. The escapologist and illusionist. He was born Eric Weiss. And he gained fame in the late 19th century and early 20th century. While Houdini was known for his incredible performances and escape acts, he also had a deep interest in debunking fraudulent spiritualists and mediums who claimed to communicate with the dead. The term charlatan often refers to someone who deceives others, particularly in the context of claiming to have skills or knowledge they do not possess. In Houdini's case, he considered many of the spiritualists of his time to be charlatans, exploiting people's grief and vulnerability for profit. He dedicated a significant portion of his later life to exposing these fraudulent practices, even going as far as to attend seances and reveal their tricks right in front of them. Some of his notable targets were Marjorie, also known as Mina Crandon. She was a famous medium who Houdini investigated extensively. He exposed her methods and tricks, including the use of hidden devices to create effects during seances. He even went to the Fox sisters and he debunked them as well, but they had already been debunked prior to that. Maybe we'll do a whole segment on the Fox sisters at one point. Would you like that? If you want that, please call 718. What the hell am I talking about? 845-600-0744. And let me know about it, okay? Without further ado, let's get into my interview, my awesome interview with the awesome Miss April Bazette. Let's go.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? How are you?
Well, I got hair malfunction.
That's all right. That's all right. How you been? How's it going?
Joe, is it Joe or Joseph? Joe?
Joe is fine. Okay. Yeah.
Some people are funny that way.
No, I'm good. I appreciate this so much. To be honest with you, when I messaged you, I was like, she got back to me really fast. I hope this isn't like a scam
I got to tell you, Mike, you know, everyone will tell you, I don't answer anybody. I'm horrible that way. I happened to be on at that time when I saw it. So, okay.
Well, yeah. I appreciate it. That's awesome. I really appreciate it.
And I think I know you through everyone. That's why I said, you know.
Yeah, I've been doing this like 4.5 years. So I kind of got around talking to a lot of different people and stuff. That's the one thing, honestly, like the whole paranormal community. I mean, the podcast community also, but the paranormal community, everybody's just so cool. Everybody's so nice. And, you know, everybody just, you know, people that aren't involved in it think, oh, they're all weird and stuff. But I've met probably some of the most normal, down-to-earth people in the paranormal community than anywhere else. Yeah, I've had paranormal experiences since I was a kid, since I was 6 years old, you know? So I've had maybe not a whole bunch, but I've pretty much ran the gamut of seeing full-bodied apparitions to hearing breaths to seeing a remote control fly off the table in front of me.
Oh,
you know,
that's why people get into this. People get into this either they had an experience or because they lost a loved one and they want to know where they are. How I started this, my father, I woke up, we had moved. My father comes to my room, I'm talking to my father. And then I call my mom, yelling for my mom to come in. And I'm like, daddy's here. My dad died 2 years prior. So, but you know what? I always say when I've noticed this from doing investigations and from filming, going to locations, when there's one spirit, other spirits come in. And the other ones that come in are not necessarily good ones. And that happened to me. I was tortured, you know, growing up by these entities. And it's funny. I think, like, remember when the internet came out and I remember discovering it at work? I'm like, oh my God, what is this? You know, and you know, so I'm looking up ghost stories and I found this page. And the thing that I saw, another thing that I had seen in my bed, other people claimed to have seen it, like something similar with the red eyes. That thing haunted me up until I think right before I got married. So I had this attachment with me and it would always like talk in my ear. Not all the time. It was every so often. It always talked in my ear when somebody bad was around me, even though it was bad.
And now when you say bad, I know obviously you felt it, but like, did it ever try to do anything? Like, did it ever try to harm you?
Yeah. It tried to push me down the stairs. It would wake me out of my sleep. It would mimic my mom's voice. And I would go, because it would sound like my mom was in, you know, was hurt or something. So like, it would be my mom calling me, but it sounded like it was coming from another dimension. So I would wake up in the dark and I would always wind up at the stairs for the stairs. They wanted me to fall down the stairs. And my other family, my two sisters, would feel something grab at their ankles at the bottom. And my one sister, who does not believe in us at all, always talks about what happened in the house.
Well, I mean, now, actually, my first question was, what was your first paranormal experience? So you kind of, but you had said that it was your father and he had passed away and stuff. But like, how did you feel when you saw him? Like, you knew that was definitely your father, right?
I knew it was my dad. I was 4. I knew it was my dad. You know, because I was the youngest. And I was talking to him. And I knew, you know, as a kid, we knew he had passed away. But I'm a young kid. But after I called my mom and he had disappeared. So, and I never saw him again. I know. So sad. But it's funny. I have a stepdad, my stepdad, Joe, who raised me. And we had a tumultuous relationship growing up, and you know, I wasn't the greatest kid. I was defiant, and so. And right before he passed, like we made up or whatever, we came to terms with each other, and we really bonded right before he died. So now it's funny. I was going for an operation, and I was really scared, and I could feel somebody with me. So I kind of like look over my shoulder and I see him and I said, oh my God, they sent you. So it's funny. So now whenever like, you know, operation or if I have to go through something stressful, he's the one that's always around to take care of me. You know, I think he's, you know, like wants to make up for our relationships and we became so close at the end, but it's beautiful. But it was so funny when I actually, when he passed away, as soon as he passed away, we were all with him around the bed. And I go into the kitchen and he's standing there. And I said, oh my God. I'm like, what are you doing here? I'm like, he looked, you know, like he used to like healthy and, you know, he was dressed in his like favorite blue sweatshirt and his work pants that he loved. And it was just crazy. So, but I see him all the time. I'll feel him all the time. But he's like a guardian angel. But my real dad, I don't see.
Yeah. I mean, my mom had passed away about 14 years ago. And I had experienced some things as soon as she passed away. And then after that, I hadn't really at all. Now, mind you, it's kind of this.
Did she have the heart issues? Who had the heart issues?
It was probably her. We never got an autopsy, so we didn't know what she died of. She just didn't wake up one day. And
it's the heart because I'm seeing like the heart. Who's the D name?
It's my dad. My dad, it's Dan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she's showing me the heart, like this whole heart issue. She would have needed an operation.
She hated doctors. She never wanted to go to doctors.
Yeah. So she would have needed heart surgery for her valve.
Since we never got an autopsy, we never really knew what she died of. And the one thing that I always kind of came to, you know, I was 29 when she passed away. So I kind of came to, I said, you know what? Because she was complaining about sciatica in her leg for a long time. And then the night before she passed away, she was complaining about heartburn. So I was like, maybe it was a blood pressure, not a blood, maybe it was a blood clot that traveled from her leg up to her heart. I.
Yeah, well, that's the heart. Anything with indigestion. And you know what's funny? I got to tell you this. I know nothing about medical stuff. I I hate it. I hate gore, blood. I can't see. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, I was just telling somebody today, when people post pictures of their injuries or operations, I unfollow them because I do not want to see that. Right. It's gross. But I'll tell you a story. So my husband's my biggest supporter and pushes me to do work harder. You know, it's like, oh, you could have did more. You could have asked these questions, you know, the dead people. So one day I was walking, I was just like walking out to go to an event. And he goes, you know, you really should start doing medical. And I said, oh my God, no. Me of all people. Wouldn't you know, as soon as the person came in, I could see through their bodies. I could see where there was issues. So
I'm sorry to cut you off. How do you get your visions? Like, how does it come to you exactly?
I had to be born with this. I would say, you know, a natural born clairvoyant, because even seeing my dad, a normal person usually doesn't see spirits, you know, but I was young. So I actually just taught a class on this, how to decipher signs and symbols. It's a different language to talk to the dead. It's through symbols. It's through showing you pictures. Like your mom showed me a heart. She showed me, actually, I'm going to tell you, I have different symbols for stuff. Like when I see the teddy bear with the heart, that means like usually a heart operation. But I knew I can hear, sense her say, I would have needed a heart surgery, but she wants you to know it wouldn't have worked. Yeah.
She was always scared to go to the doctor because she was 63 when she passed away. And she had, been smoking since she was 16 years old. So she was always scared to go to the doctor to find out like what they were going to tell her.
But what she does want to say, because me telling you this, like if she, because I don't want you guys to think if she only went to the doctor, there was so much damage to the heart that it wouldn't have worked. So she wants you to know that there was nothing nobody could have done. So, but she watches over everything. I swear I was picking up something else from her. I don't know if somebody's ice skating, something about roller skating, ice skating, something about shoelaces. I feel like I'm putting on ice skates or roller skates. So this must be like a memory. I feel like I'm very organized getting the kids in the car. Like, all right, come on, everyone. Like you're piling people into the car, taking the kids places. Was there another child that you guys used to have with you?
Well, no, it was me. My sister was older than me. She's 7 years older than me.
Yeah.
There was like a neighbor that she used to like watch and like say it was her kid.
That's what I'm saying. I know there's another child. You know, there's another child, but I know it's not her. It was
a neighbor's child. And she used to watch this kid a lot. Yeah.
I feel like I take, you know, I'm piling you kids in wherever I have to go. She's always hyper stressed. Yeah.
Yes. And unfortunately, that little boy had died from childhood leukemia.
Okay, you know. Don't tell me anything because I was going
to. I know, but you know, I'm sorry.
I feel like this person is there with her. This child, this is her other child. Leukemia, but I see him choking, or having choking incidents. He's incubated. Who's it, like the Jack, the J name too? J.
Jesse was his name.
Oh, okay. The his J name.
Jesse.
So that's he's there with her.
Wow.
So pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's fine. She's doing well. I see her. Was she always on the phone, like sitting at the kitchen table on the phone, drinking coffee?
She loved her coffee. Yeah. Yeah. She was a big coffee person. Yeah.
So I see that. Love your coffee. Like, you know what's funny? This reminds my mom too. Yapping on the phone, smoking away, the coffee. Oh, yeah. So she shows it. Do you know she's still doing this? She's.
it doesn't surprise me.
It's funny. And she's at this table, like, and it's, so, you know, those table covers that you put over the table covers, like those old plastic things that would have like designs on it or something like that.
Yes.
That's what she showed me, and she's having a coffee and she likes to talk on the phone.
Well, we were from Staten Island, so not far from Jersey. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. My mom did same thing. And you know what, too? I love to have I'm addicted to coffee. I love coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh, that is funny. Oh, my God. What a connection we have. She does remind me a lot of my mom.
Yeah. She, I remember I think it was even before.
Wait, can I just say one more thing? Did she dye her hair? Who dyed their hair a funky color or dyed their hair differently?
Well, she used to dye her hair blonde, but that wasn't anything.
Oh, right. Different, all right. All right.
You know,
because she's saying I'm back to my normal color.
She used to have I don't even know if the platinum is a real color.
My mom was platinum blonde too. I know. That's what they did. But she keeps telling me I'm back to my normal color. I don't know what she means by that. I don't know if she like hair pieces or something with hair she's talking about.
She used to wear a lot of those extension things.
That's it. All right. All right.
Fake ponytails. Yeah.
Okay.
Stuff.
Okay.
I know she used to
she's
do
talking
that.
About her hair. This is very important. The hair. So.
Yeah. She was.
All right. So I'm so glad she came through.
That's great though. Yeah. Actually, one of the things that I was actually.
Yourself, did you get hurt on the job? Did you hurt your hip or leg?
I mean, when I first started my city correction job, I hurt my knees a little bit, but that wasn't really, I mean, but a couple of years ago, due to stress, I lost my eyesight for a few weeks.
Okay.
I don't know if that was it. But,
No. It's not that. She was talking about the eyes. I almost feel like be careful of falling or something with the leg or hip. Nothing bad. So you're not going to die or anything like that. Just warning of that. But I just you know how she had sciatica? You have to watch out for that too.
Okay.
Oh, and another thing, everyone in the family has got to watch their cholesterol. I always tell a story. I had gone to a haunted location and they never let anyone in the basement at the time. Now they do. They brought me down there and they're like, what do you feel? So I'm like, I'm looking around and I see, and I'm feeling very uneasy. I'm starting to feel sick and queasy. And I see this tall, lanky man that had a bloody devil head. They can appear to you as any way they want. Not saying that they are but this thing started to vibrate because we vibrate at different frequencies. All of us, you know, everything's frequency. When I read, I'm at a higher rate. Well, this thing went at such a high rate, it almost felt like he was running out around the room and raising the frequency of the room, but it was penetrating my personal aura that it started to make. And I've never felt that before. And I go to so many haunted locations. I mean, people call me to come to their homes that I've been to possessions and poltergeists, never experienced this. And so I said, I can't stay here. I feel sick. And I ran upstairs. I just wanted to get away from this thing because I'd never had that happen before. And she had told me somebody had been there before, another famous psychic from the UK, and he experienced the same thing, but he threw up because he's a wuss. I didn't throw up. But this thing, I'm going to tell you, this is really creepy, but this is how we see things. This thing, you know, Freddy Krueger, the movie, when he comes through the wall and it's like rubbery.
Yep.
This thing came through the door to the basement and he's like, I'm not here for the living. I'm here to, he's controlling the ghosts that are there, the spirits. He's feeding off it. But he was warning me, like, don't mess with me. Because you see what I could do? You know? And I had to cancel all my readings that week because I was just I was worn out from it doing that to me. So.
Wow.
Next time I'll be better prepared, you know?
Yeah, I think there is going to be a next time. Well, I'm saying as far as this interview, we're definitely going to have to
do an investigation together. I have so many places I would love to take you.
I've actually never been on a proper investigation. I've only ever seen, like, look, when I was younger.
I want to go somewhere and I'll tell you about it.
Sure. I mean, I'll definitely. Yeah. I mean, I used to go to a lot of places. Being in Staten Island, I used to go to the conference house a lot.
I never been there.
You know, yeah, the conference house is very. I actually had seen a full bodied apparition.
Wait, I'm going to write this down. The conference house? I'm going to have to come out to Staten Island.
Well, I'm not in Staten Island anymore, but my dad's still out there. I'm in upstate New York. I'm in Mayo Pack in Putnam County.
Okay. I love upstate.
Yeah.
Conference house. All right. Yeah, we got to definitely talk. oh my God, I lost track. What were you going to say? What was I going to say? This is so much fun. We're going to have like...
But no, you know, I've had some experiences there.
The Kreischer Mansion.
Oh, the Kreischer Mansion. Yeah, I actually know. Well, I don't even think he's. I've had an experience with the Kreischer Mansion as well, and I almost feel like this entity that was there. I used to work right down the street from the Kreischer Mansion, like literally within 50 feet of that place, and. My friends went over there because they were all excited and stuff. They wanted to take pictures and everything. And they came back and ran back. It was a rehearsal studio I used to work in where bands would come in and rehearse. And they all came running in. I said, what's going on? They're like, we saw something. It was following us. I said, get out of here. You know, I mean, I've seen and experienced things, but I'm like, nah.
Right?
So after that, for the next few months until the place closed down, the lights were going on and off. The PAs were going on and off. There was one time I'm sitting in the office. I'm the only one in the entire place. And I hear knocking on the office door. And there's nobody else in there. And I'm like, I'm not answering that.
Oh, yeah. You know? No.
And then, but it kept knocking. So I'm like, all right. I know as soon as I go over there.
You know, because they do three knocks.
It was three knocks. But it was like, you know, din, din, din. Well, and then I didn't answer. And then
another knocking the Trinity.
Right. But I opened the door real fast and of course there was nothing there, you know, but the computer was glitching out one time and then the lights started flickering like crazy. You know, I knew that they really did see something and it really did follow me back. And I guess because of my energy and because I'm so in tune with stuff, it hung out, you know?
They know the spirits are like, why did so many spirits come to Moonshun? Because we shine brighter. We have, our auras are brighter. They know how to seek us out. They know that we could see. So that's why I was always terrorized as a kid, you know. These little fuckers following us. They're like, oh my God, leave me alone, you know.
I'm going to have to put the explicit language thing on this one. That's fine.
You know what I have now happened to me? This is the funniest thing. And my business partner now, with Ghost the Magazine, when we first met, he had called me to come to this location that he was running. And we're in there by ourselves. We're in this haunted location and we're talking and rocks are being thrown.
Wow.
And we're not paying attention. This is a seasoned paranormal investigator. We didn't flinch because we're so used to it. And then like probably, you know, 40 seconds later, we're like, oh my God, some things are being thrown. You're so used to it. Wherever I go, I have pebbles thrown at me. And they come out of thin air. So I'm like, and I always go, is that all you got? Is that all you got?
taunting them. But that's, you know, I like I said, I've never been on a proper investigation. I'd always love to go. You know, it's always been one of the things. Sounds good.
I was just talking to my friends because, you know, I do a lot of private residence. I get a lot of calls. I had it really turned down a lot this year because I've been so busy for the past 2 years doing events. And I just filmed a pilot for a TV show, but can't talk about it yet.
Can't talk about it yet. Okay.
But it was an awesome. Oh my God. I can't wait to see it. You know, that was a crazy place. So, where am I going with this? But I definitely wanted to. Oh, so I love going on investigations with just, you know, friends and stuff. We're not filming, you know, take pictures, of course. Hey, check us out. We're here. But, you know, like we're just a bunch of friends hanging out. That is so much fun. So I have great places for you. So
awesome. Awesome. Yeah, one of my favorite interviews that I've had on this. I probably shouldn't say favorite.
I thought I was going to be the favorite.
Well, it's not over yet. You know,
I brought your mother through. God damn it!
I've had on. I'm sure they're probably in your circle as well. I've had on Keith and Carl Johnson.
Oh yeah,
I love.
Oh my
those
god,
guys.
Carl and I. Oh my god, guys. I have stories about Carl because when I went to the Conjuring House. Oh my god, that was a crazy story. But Carl met me up there, so they're great guys.
I always felt like Carl is like the renegade guy. You know, he's like the, you know, and Keith is like the good, religious guy.
He's so good.
And, you know, soft spoken. But Carl
the devil
is like
on
that.
His shoulders, and I can relate to that. That's me.
But no, those interviews are awesome.
Oh, great guys.
Just the stories that they had.
Oh my god, yeah.
Phenomenal. You know, I've been trying to get Carl back on. I've been like, Carl, come on, we got to do another show.
You got to get Nesper like on here.
Nesper? Oh, I think you sent me the info, right?
I don't know.
Did you send
New
me
England,
the info?
You know, and Lorraine Warren's, yeah. The New England Psychic.
Right.
Research Society.
Research. Yeah. Yeah.
They are me. As a matter of fact, I just talked to Wade today. I love Wade. I love all the boys. Me and Wade just gonna, but I actually want to do a story on them for Ghosted on what they do, because people don't realize that this group is still out there doing Ed and Lorraine's work, like helping families.
Wow.
They're not out there publicizing it. Not, they don't want the accolades, but they're out there helping people. And I said, I want to piggyback on a case with you. I, you know, won't use their names or anything like that. But I want to show people what you guys do. Because they invited me up over the summer. I was there at the house, at Ed and Lorraine's house. Oh my God, crazy. Oh my God. It was crazy.
I went to one of their conventions. What, I think it was like 2-3 years ago. I got to see Annabelle.
I was there where were we? In Gettysburg.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. It was in Gettysburg.
Yeah, it was so much. We had a great
time. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a fun time. I actually got to meet a lot of people, you know, hand out cards and stuff.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of interviews from that place.
Yeah, too, absolutely. People, so oh, my God. Cool. Yeah.
You know, but well, you talked about Ghosted. Can you tell me a little bit about the magazine?
Ghosted. All right. So Ghosted, we're now like a little over a year old. I came up with this idea about 3 years ago. I wanted to start a magazine. I said, I want to start a magazine on the paranormal because I used to love reading the stories, you know, on online of personal stories by people. No judgment. I was going to judge them whether it's real or not, but I find it so entertaining. But, you know, like I'm on the road and, you know, I'm doing paracons and I'm working with, you know, a lot of these paranormal celebrities. And I said, oh my God, I'd love to do stories on these guys and, you know, write stories of personal experiences, other teams that have been out there, just bring the paranormal to the people, like old school reading. Cause I used to love reading like Hans Holzer, the Warrens, mm-hmm. You know, like these are like who we worship, you know? Ryan Buell, you know, all these people. And I said, I want to put this in a magazine, bring it back old school to the people. Cause people love to read, you know, they want it in their hand.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And I started this. So I had called my friend, Michael, who's my co-founder. And I said, hey, you know, I've had this idea for a long time. And I said, you know, what do you think we could do? Because he's a graphic artist, you know, because I was actually going to reach out to another friend of mine that was a graphic artist because I need a graphic artist for this. But Michael's into the paranormal and I just loved his energy. We weren't that close, which I liked. Because I don't want, you know what? So I can still establish a business relationship with this person. But now we're best friends. I love them. We talk all the time. You know, so it's like, I know his wife. They, you know, they know my husband. So it's such a nice, you know, family dynamic. And we blend so well together. But we do great stories. We do, you know, like on, of course, the power celebrities. But I also go out there and I'm looking for teams out there, paranormal teams. But you know what I'm looking for? The ones that haven't been jaded yet. The ones with no ego. So I'm always looking. People don't know I'm looking, but I'm looking and I'm watching everybody. And I will pluck them out, reach out to them. And like our first issue, I was in Ohio doing an event at the Haunted Hillview Manor. And I met this nice group. And I had to go because I did another event in Ohio. So traveled over to Ohio and I met this nice group, Down to Earth, Three Souls Paranormal. And I said, I want you in the magazine because they were just so down to earth. So I'm always looking for these teams. I want to bring the little people to light. I want to focus on them, put them in the spotlight. But I don't want any egos.
Right.
You know, not yet. You'll get it eventually. But, you know, I want that those fresh people with the fire in their belly, you know.
Right. So, yeah.
But it's great.
Yeah.
And I write the tarotscopes for it. Michael is an amazing graphic artist and photographer. So, yeah. So our year anniversary, we were actually the cover because every it's a quarterly print and digital magazine. So every issue that comes out, we do a cover reveal. You know, people are trying to guess. Oh, I know. And everyone's trying to guess, and nobody was going to guess that it was going to be us. It was me and Michael. You know, so we because it's our year anniversary, so it was great. Right. So you know, like he looked so badass. You know, like. And I was dressed as a princess, so now I'm my crown.
Well, if you ever need anybody to write stories or whatever in there, you know, I think I know somebody that you know.
We have a lot of people reach out to us, but it's always been the two of us.
Yeah,
but the magazine has become so popular and so big, like. Our second issue, which was my favorite issue, and that was the one I was focused on. The first issue would have been the second issue, but we had to do it so quick because I had this idea in my head for 3 years. So when I approached Michael with this, was in August, and the end of August. I think I've written down. I wrote everything down. I always take notes when I do things. I called my lawyer. No, I did. Call my lawyer, call, you know, Michael. And we had this done in less than 2 months, the first issue. So, my second issue, cause I always wanted, I always like to put a famous psychic in there, psychic medium that I know personally, or, you know, one of who I'm a fan of, like this issue we have Concetta Bertoli. She's not in the paranormal, but she's the one that wrote the book, I Kissed a Ghost, and I liked it. She's all over TV. She's huge. She reads for the royal family, but she's such a down-to-earth Jersey girl. I love her. But our second issue, I had Cindy Kazar, Patty Negri, and Kim Russo. When I tell you that magazine sold out in less than 22 hours, that we had to reprint it.
Wow.
Now it's awesome. So coveted. People are still like, we, I think me and Michael have one issue each, you know, that we're not going to give up, of course. But people want that. We have been approached by Barnes and Noble, and I just have stipulations. And as a matter of fact, I told Mike, get back to me this month, but I have stipulations. And one of my stipulations, and they came to us with a good deal because everyone's like, oh, they don't give good deals. Oh my God. They gave us a really good deal, like, you know, what they want. Wow. But it's not going to, I want to have that, you know, it's just us two writing, you know, us completely in control. It's an exclusive magazine because now I'm starting to see these copycats trying to pop up. They're just putting, they're throwing spaghetti at the wall. That's what they're doing. And they're like, they're having people just write, like anybody, Joe Schmo off the street to write an article. Because I saw someone goes, oh my God, so-and-so asked me to write an article. I'm not a writer. So, but
I mean, now you could just say, AI, write me an article on this, and AI will write a whole magazine, you know? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
With Ghosted, we always say, like, it's Where's Waldo every issue, because there's always a typo, or we miss... pronounce a word or misspell the word. And because it's us writing, it's us two writing. The only thing we use is, which they don't, just to correct our misspellings, which it never catches all the words.
Before you had mentioned celebrities. Can you name drop any celebrities that you did readings for, or were they like televised or private? Or
well, all right. So, some made me sign NDAs because I can't say. Right. But I the two I can say, because like on my website is Daryl Morrison from Ghost Hunters, and Kim D from The Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Brandon Alves, I read for. There's others. I just, and you know what? I have thousands of clients all over the world, you know, not just here in the States. So it's, everything's confidential. You know, I don't talk about my readings. I'll tell a story, but no names or anything like that. Not too graphic, but yeah, because it's private. So they made me sign NDAs. Sure. So, but it's okay. But Kim D loved me. You know, Kim D, as a matter of fact, she's owned that boutique, Posh, where like a lot of the scenes were filmed in. But I would read at her, at this boutique, and I would read for her. She would call me constantly for readings. And I read a lot of famous people on TV, like for the news, famous lawyers. But, you know, I'm like... Oh. Yeah, right, so because right. Some of it's juicy, and I know, like, I'm like, okay, I get it. Thank God we saw an NDA because
right.
this stuff is good.
Well, now you mentioned TV and stuff. What I know, I had read that you were on the Holzer
Files. Yes, yes. Like,
was that the only TV appearance? Probably not. Right?
I did the Holzer Files one. Season one, episode, I forgot, six. It was at the Lambert Castle. I did Haunted Hotels and something for Paraflix. That just came out, where I filmed with my friends from Florida. And which was crazy. Oh, my own. That just came out. And I just filmed a TV series, a TV show for major network. Yeah, right. That I'm not messing with, you know.
No.
I don't want to be sued.
No, absolutely not.
It was
not.
Funny, you know why? Because when we were filming at this location, and it's during the snowstorm, the newspaper showed up there, and nobody knew. Like, oh, I'm like, I'm not from this area, so I don't know. But they knew. They had our itinerary of locations.
Wow.
So I'm like, that's messed up. I don't know who leaked it.
Somebody leaked it. Yeah.
But you know, like, well, whatever. We did the interview anyway, so it's coming out. So people will find it. I'm not going to say it. They can say it, you know? So I'm not getting in trouble. I signed an NDA, you know?
So you also, you said you had worked with like police and missing cases, missing people cases. And
stuff. I'd like to tell people, like, don't call me for these because I hate it. I absolutely hate to. And it's not that I don't like to help people. How do I say this? I hate saying this, but people have reached out to me so many times. And I always say, send me a picture. I can't guarantee I'm going to pick up anything. The reason I want to look at the picture because I can tell if they're alive or dead. I don't want to deliver the news that they're dead. So I take the ones that are alive. And it's not, because it's not going to change anything, but they're going to yell at me.
Okay. Right.
Because it's the grief process. I don't want to deliver that message because we've both been through grief. And right. you know, there's that rage. I've been that rage person over a death.
So what'd you guys think? Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, she was an awesome, awesome guest. I'm leaving you hanging right there, so you're going to have to check out the next show for part two of it. Just as good as the first part, so please, please, please check it out. And also, you could check out all of her links and everything in the show notes of this show and, of course, the next show as well that I'm going to have her on. So please check all that out. And if you've ever had a paranormal experience, or have you ever went to a psychic medium that told you some crazy stuff and... you know, I want to hear your views on it. So please give me a call at 845-600-0744, or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast. And thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744. Or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.